On Chapter 112 of our podcast, we switch medieval building materials by driving south to Montauban.
Instead of stone buildings, all you see are structures made of pinkish red brick. We also have more on Jeff's baseball exploits and another Olympic update to get to.
This is Jeff and Julie moved to France during a global pandemic. I think I need a walker.
Well, yeah, I think you're a little, you know, you're
long in the tooth.
Yeah. I didn't want to go there right yet, but I think that, you know, after your first baseball game, your muscles were very angry at you.
That's a good way of putting it. Holy crap. It's later in the week. This is like 4 or 5 days after the game, which we're going to get to here in a second. And I'm still nursing stuff.
Well,
holy.
It's because there's a buildup of lactic acid on
Okay, thanks.
So it usually a couple days later, that's when you feel the pain. And you were feeling pain like pretty much from top to bottom.
I think I started feeling pain when I decided to join the team. I mean, it's been maybe coaching's my thing. But let's just go back here in time because...
Right. This is what you had to do before you could play your first competitive game.
Yeah. Like last week's podcast, we were getting ready... I had to go to the doctors to get a medical so that I could then send my information in and get a baseball license.
Yes.
Okay.
So you went to the doctor.
Yeah, I went to the doctor and I just thought it was going to be, you know, like blood pressure, heart, and then mm-hmm. off you go. But no, I had to do, are you ready for this? This was my test. I had to do 30 squats.
and you were wearing like jeans. You weren't even wearing like sweatpants or
no.
So you're doing your squats and you did them.
I did them. No problem. I can do 30 squats.
Yeah. And so she filled out your attestation.
Yeah.
And then you were able to send it off to
It off to Jeremy, the coach, right away because he only had that day to get the necessary paperwork ready for the game, which was Sunday.
Right.
And then that all worked out, and we had a practice on Saturday, and so you know, just kind of it was a light practice because the game is the next day, which was good, mm-hmm. and you know, everything's sore. Like my arm is sore from throwing, my knees end up being a little bit sore. I'm still nursing the hamstring; it's better, much better. And then I wrench something in my back. It's just unbelievable. I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess.
You know, I think in general, you're a pretty fit fella.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
These are all new muscles again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you've got your routine. You're very athletic. You do a lot of yard work. You do lots of physical stuff around the property. But it's not as if you're in the gym lifting weights.
No.
And you know.
That ship has sailed. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So. It's one of those things where these are all necessary to get to the next level. These are muscles I haven't used in 5 years. So, you know, you've got to go and you've got to stretch them out. You got to use them. And then over time, this is my hope, over time, like the next couple of weeks or so, everything starts to gel.
Right. You know,
You
get a little bit more muscle tone using, yeah. I think you'll be in much better shape in a couple of weeks.
So the whole day for the ball game, which was in Pessac, very close to Bordeaux, was door-to-door 11 hours. 11 hours door-to-door, and I'm glad you didn't join.
You know, I want to be supportive of your activity, but that's a big ask.
That is, and and it was a big refuse. On your part, which I understand. No, I'm not coming. And just as well. But here's the thing. So we get there and it's a beautiful, beautiful diamond. We're playing right next to soccer guys. And they were getting mad because we'd hit a foul ball and it would land over there. Everybody's yelling, you know, and then your stupid little baseball. We're trying to play a real game here, they're saying. Anyway, you know, so I wasn't, in the starting lineup. It was two games. And unfortunately, because there's only one diamond, they have to do this by time, which is so anti-baseball.
Oh,
it's just so anti-base. Baseball should never, ever involve a clock.
So what kind of time?
An hour and a half for each game, which ended up being four-ish innings, 4 to 5 innings per game, just depending. But I understand it because it's not like Canada where there's, you know, four diamonds every two blocks. It's one diamond every 200 miles. You know? So yet we had to get a lot of games in, and we had two games. So in the first game, and finally in the fourth inning, I get put on.
Your first at bat?
My first at bat. And it was as much of a disaster as you. First of all, the starting pitcher was throwing kind of nice 60, 70 mile an hour fastballs. I can hit that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they changed to this flamethrower. Oh. Hey, old man, you get in there now.
Cramps.
You get
in.
Yeah. So there is some tragic video evidence of my first at bat. And I think if the French government gets a hold of it, they're going to suspend my license. I mean, this video should have a disclaimer like, please be advised that this at bat video contains deeply disturbing images. Because I was up and down faster than... I swung at three pitches. It was three pitches. They were all up above my around my eyes. I don't know what I was thinking. I was so slow on these pitches that my swing was just finishing as the ball was going back to the pitcher. It was horrible.
Where is this video?
No, I'm telling you, I got to get it erased because it is. And you know, here's the thing. I get up to the plate, and of course, I haven't swung a bat for 5 years. I should have been taking like the first two pitches, which I did in my second at bat. Anyway, I should have been taking these pitches, but no, the guys are all going, Jeff, 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 right? Because the old man's finally at the plate. And I got all amped up, and I just started swinging at everything. And,
But you had a good time, even though it was a bit of a...
Second at bat, I did get a hold of the ball. I grounded out to third.
Good.
No,
yeah.
I didn't get on base. Grounded out to third. And I'm glad it was a good hard shot because by the time it got to first, I'd only made a couple of steps, so I could just go right to the dugout.
Right.
From the, you know what
Perfect.
I mean?
Perfect. Perfect.
But anyway, that's that. And then now, you know, we have a barbecue this weekend.
Oh, that's so cute.
Shush.
That's adorable. And you've got a new little cap with an A on it and a little shirt. And you've got little pants. And
we're going to be seeing a little attorney if you keep that up.
You know, I was questioning why baseball hasn't really caught on in France. I mean, clearly your team is very passionate about it.
Holy! How many, we're on a group chat?
Ding, 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 ding. And unfortunately, I have to translate everything, and I don't know the baseball terms. But in any case, they are very passionate. But some of the reasons they say baseball did not catch on in France.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's an American sport, right? So there is not always this big connection between Europe and America.
Especially France.
Mm-hmm. And then there's what you mentioned, that there's no time limit.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? I don't know. I'm not sure. If that, because cricket's the same way, right? Cricket is also based on innings.
I see. Well, I mean, there have been baseball games that have gone on for almost a day, like 8 hours.
And there are four-day cricket game matches. So,
yes. One of the other reasons, apparently, is that there's no net, there's no basket, there's no
goal. Yeah, I see.
So that's a bit, you know, that's not the way that the Europeans think. They, you know, with their football, but there's a goal.
You said football, and I think that's also interesting because, I mean, they do play handball here and they do play cricket, but I think they more tend to use their feet in Europe, and we like using our hands in North America.
Because soccer/football and rugby are the two most popular sports.
Yeah, rugby you use your hands, but not like it's not like in North American football
where
you're getting forward passes that are going.
Right.
Good
and,
clip.
And another reason, and this never occurred to me,
okay,
is that you run counter clockwise.
Yeah.
That goes against the grain. Why isn't first base to the left instead of to the right?
No, it doesn't go against the grain. If you go NASCAR, you're always turning left. Same in baseball, you turn left.
Okay.
I don't think that's
That's they quote that as being another reason. It's just against the
ridiculous thing.
Anyway, I'm not passing judgment. I'm just reporting what I read.
Okay. All right.
And we were lucky that your appointment was done quickly because then we had to rush into Agen. To go pick up our carte de séjour.
That's true. We had a huge day on Friday.
Yeah, and it was like to the minute.
Yeah.
And we got to the prefecture because you had to be there between 11 and 11:30. And sure enough, you grab a number, you sit, and you wait for your number to be called.
It's usually very, very efficient there.
Yes, yeah. And we had the same woman as last year.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice woman. And she, you know, looks at your passport, takes your old card, gives you your new card.
Takes your money.
Takes your
receipt
that you've paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And takes your fingerprints.
Oh, yeah. Mine didn't register.
Yours didn't work. Usually that's my problem because I do so much housework.
I can knock off a bank.
But then as I'm coming home, I'm looking at our cards. And luckily, we were able to go to pick up our cards on the same day at the same time, as per my request. But my card expires 1.5 months before yours. So they didn't up my date. They upped yours. Up yours.
Yeah, they did.
And so I don't know what I'm going to do because have to renew 2 months before. And now
We'll renew somewhere in the middle together, like 3 months or 2.5 months, because there are some websites that say 4 months you should, right?
Yeah, but when I asked her, she said 2 months. And you know, then I said, when we have to stay on this yearly plan. And she goes, yep, for another couple of years. So.
Oh, well.
Yep. Anyway, we can stay here for a bit.
Boy, did I brain myself, hey?
Oh, yes.
We were at the prefecture and we got there a little, everything got done very quickly. So we were just kind of waiting around for lunch. So we took a walk and I kind of got my head down a little bit and somebody's shutters just opened them. The shutters are everywhere here. They didn't pin them back like you're supposed to. And I just absolutely labeled myself.
It
stopped me.
Oh, it was a huge thump.
Yeah.
Like,
I got a little scabs up there.
You had a little.
Yeah, a little bump in the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow. Oh, hey, very excited. It is the Bruins playing the Leafs after all. Is the Bruins.
That's good.
Oh, that's very good because the Bruins and the Leafs. So if you thought this was futile, the fact that the Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. How about this? The Leafs haven't beat Boston in a playoff series since 1959.
That's a long time.
Oh, I can't wait. And it happened on like the second last game of the season.
So, but is Boston a better team?
Oh, they're just going to... I'll tell you what, if Toronto beats Boston, good for you, you know, but then you're going to either meet, you know, you're going to be meeting Florida or the Rangers, who I think have the best record in the NHL. These are all teams they have to get past before they even go to the Stanley Cup. So it's an uphill battle for the Leafs. I honestly don't think they're going to win. I don't think the Leafs are going to win one game in the playoffs. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's that. Very excited about the NHL playoffs kicking off very shortly. So we had a big day yesterday. That was very fun. I got to tell you, this was really exciting for me because it's a complete change of landscape for us. When we went to Montauban, which was south, a lot of our trips recently have been to Dordogne.
Yeah, so southeast.
Mm-hmm, southeast. And it's just a completely different look.
Yeah, well, it's in the Tarn et Garonne. Occitanie. And as we're driving in, we notice that all of a sudden there are fruit tree orchards everywhere. I mean, in our area, it's prune trees everywhere, but there, it's clearly apples and oranges and pears, and that was really lovely. And it's that it's not as dramatic in terms of the hills. It's a little bit more like just slightly undulated. But more trees, more forests, less farmland per se. So it was really, really stunning. Montauban is the capital of that department and has fairly large population, like 80,000 people that live there. What was really impressive is the color of the city. It's got a pink hue because of the bricks. The buildings that were built back in medieval time again are bricks,
yeah,
not like stone.
We're used to the stone, and we're used to the changing colors of the stone. Like, we're in an area where it's the Quercy rock, right? So it's white, and then Dordogne's is sort of an ochre color of the stone. But then you go here, and it was about just over an hour drive southeast from Penn, where we are, and it was this red brick. And no stone, really. I mean, there was some stone, but always mixed in with the brick. But most of it was just solid brick, including that Roman bridge from, what, the 1300s?
Started being built in the 1300s.
And still used for cars and stuff today.
Yeah, and they're refurbishing it. We saw that they had part of it blocked off because they're putting new railings on it. It's really beautiful. They've got stunning Roman arches.
Yeah.
And then there's the art museum, which is housed in the old bishop's residence. And that's all on the side of the Tarn River. The Tarn River runs through Montauban.
And there's a sign on just off the bridge, and it is a level of where the water reached in 1930 as the record. And I got a picture of Julie standing underneath. You look like a little tiny dwarf underneath underneath this, how tall this water was and this level.
And remarkable, because the river is actually quite a distance from that building.
It was just, I don't know.
So what happened?
I don't know. It's something else, though. But they've marked it because I guess it was such a big deal.
Yeah. And in that same area, we walked around and we saw the Saint-Jacques Church, which was built in, the 1200s.
Is that the one white building that we saw?
It's pink.
Oh, yeah, that's pink, too. But we did see a cathedral that was white.
It's white. Yeah. And then we went to La Place Nationale, which is...
You mean La Place Royale?
No. Well, that's another story. But it's a square. So this the Count of Toulouse, when they designed the city back in the medieval days, they decided that they would have a center square with all the roads leading away from it. And it would be where people would meet, where, the trades would do their selling and their trading. So we sat there, and it was just beautifully refurbished. I think it's a fairly recent renovation where they've got this what they call a mirror of water in the center of the square. And it's supposed to reflect all the buildings that are built around that are pink, and they've got little jets of water that come
out,
little designs. Then they've got this big mist that comes through. So it's probably a really fun place to be during a hot day in the summer, because you get cooled off by...
On the main floor, surrounded by bars and restaurants, just endless amount of chairs. Fantastic.
Well, the apartment buildings were built on top of what they call them arcades. Right. So you've got passageways underneath the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So it offers shade if it's it's a very hot day. But yes, it was really lively. I didn't expect that in Montauban.
Well, I love this little city, and I couldn't stop taking pictures of the shops and the little streets. So by all means, check out our Facebook page, and you'll see something very different from all of the posts that we've made so far at Jeff and Julie Move to France.
We made a reservation for lunch, as we do when we go.
That's our little, yeah.
And you know, every once in a while, the restaurant will have a website where you can make a reservation. And so I thought, okay, well, let's make a reservation. It wasn't through one of those, what do you call those?
Aggregator?
Yes, it wasn't an aggregator. It was their own
website.
So I felt okay doing that. And you go through the whole process, and all of a sudden it asks you for your credit card. And the charge, I think it was 70 euros.
70 euros if you don't show up.
And that, you know, that's really interesting, because last week we were talking about La Taxe Lapin, about about the French not showing up for their medical appointments.
To the tune of how many? 27 million, did you say?
That's what they said, 27 million appointments that weren't kept. So I'm assuming that the same happens at restaurants, and that's really unfair to the restaurateur.
It's just so rude. Like, I would never think of just not showing up for a reservation, ever.
No, I mean, you go through the you know, the process of making a reservations, you make your plans and you keep them. And if you can't keep them, then you let them know that you're not coming.
Like, I think it was it Bergerac that we're,
yeah,
where
we got? We had made reservations to go to Bergerac with some friends, and it turned out that we weren't going to be able to make the lunch. And so I called at the restaurant and I just said, I'm really sorry, we're not going to be able to make our reservation. And she thanked me profusely for calling and canceling the reservation. And that, like, that stayed with me. I thought, that's really weird that she was so appreciative. And I think it all ties into the fact that people don't keep their appointments.
Right.
And that's not the first time that we've been asked for credit cards. When we were in Agen, the restaurant wanted a 20 euro yep. deposit on mm-hmm. the credit card. Now, here's the thing. If you call the restaurants, they do not ask for your credit card.
Right.
So I think if you're taking, you know, the time and making the effort to make a phone call, they're not as concerned about you not keeping your reservation as opposed to doing it anonymously, kind of,
well, and you
online.
Know, and you know, it's interesting. I was reading, I don't know if it was in a Rick Steves book, but I know I was reading a travel book. And it said, and by the way, when you make your reservations with French restaurants, the French don't like it if you're too late. They will cancel your reservation if you're not there within 10 minutes of the time if you haven't called ahead. And it made it sound like the French are all snooty, but here's the reason why.
Absolutely. You know, and when we had our lunch at Clément's back in Lausanne,
right.
The system was great. You could book online, but the day of your reservation, they send you a text.
A confirmation. Like, are you still coming?
Are you still coming? And you have to click to say that you're still coming. So that's a way of protecting, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a limited number of tables and you've ordered the food, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you've got empty tables. And that happens. We ask ourselves that all the time. We're at a restaurant and it's a really great restaurant. Why isn't it completely full? Probably because people didn't show up.
Yeah, that's just, it's inexcusable to me.
Yeah. So, you know, I am completely for having confirmations and sending notices. And it, the same happens when we book online for our hair appointments or whatever. You know, you get reminders the day of so that you don't forget your
appointments. Just be a part of the solution. Don't be a part of the problem.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. In Brittany, this is kind of a little aside from what we're talking about. There's a restaurant, a couple of restaurants that charge the patrons if they don't finish their food.
They do? Really?
Yeah. So these are both buffet restaurants. And if there's too much food left on your plate, like it is.
Oh, if it's a buffet, I understand.
And it's subjective,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you've piled on and you're leaving a ton of food on your plate, they will charge you 5 euros. And that is, I think, a really good policy because you think twice about wasting food.
No, it's very good.
And in France, you know what? They throw away 10 million tons of food a year.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. And so, you know, charging a little bit for being greedy and wasteful, I'm in total agreement with. And that brings me to the French phrase of the day.
Being wasteful?
No, buffets.
Oh, yeah. You got my attention. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
La vie n'est pas un restaurant, mais un buffet. Levez-vous pour vous servir.
Okay, I'm looking at it, which of course is everything still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the reasons is, and we've talked about this before, so much stuff sounds the same in French. And it could be a combination of three words, it could be one word, it could be two words. And unless you're getting the context of it, you don't know. So to be able to see it is very helpful. Okay.
La vie n'est pas un restaurant, mais un buffet.
Okay. Life is not a restaurant, but a buffet.
Yes.
Okay.
Levez-vous pour vous servir.
You need to rise for your service?
Close.
I always get so close.
Levez-vous pour vous servir.
Yeah, okay. I've given you my guess. I'm sorry.
Okay. So you got the front part 100%. Mm-hmm. Life is not a restaurant, it's a buffet. So get up and serve yourself.
Isn't that what I just said?
No.
What did I say? I said you have to rise to serve yourself.
No.
That's what I said.
No.
Are you kidding? What, do I have to rewind the tape? What did I say then?
It wasn't that. Okay. It wasn't that. I think something about service, for your service.
Oh, service. Oh, yeah, okay.
This is to serve yourself, right?
Okay.
Pour vous servir.
Oh, this is very good. So, in English, from top to bottom?
Life is not a restaurant, but a buffet. So, get up to serve yourself.
Oh, that's very good.
It's true.
I love that.
It's true. You've got to move. You got
to
go.
Where does this come? Yeah, you have to be proactive. You can't just, you know, as my buddy Mike used to say, Kijiji ain't gonna shop itself. Stupid. So where does this come from?
I don't really know. But it spoke to me. It's like, it's so true. You can sit there and watch life go by.
Yeah.
Or you can enjoy it.
Take charge.
Take chances. Take risks. That's kind of what we did.
Yeah.
And and we served ourselves. Just fun.
I mean, how many people do you know, I'd really like to move to Costa Rica when I retire? And TikTok. You know, you got to do it.
You got to do it. Yes.
All right. You know what? It's funny. You've been mentioning buffets here. And just before we move on, I wanted to thank April Masiko Farquhar from Burlington. She sent us a very kind and interesting note. Hello, I've enjoyed listening to your podcast. My husband and I have dreamed about moving to France from Burlington. Your podcast has helped us see the reality of doing so, and for now, continue to enjoy dreaming about possibilities and visiting France as much as we can. Sharing this article with you, as I'm not sure you've heard of this restaurant, I believe that is not far from you, and visiting it might make for a great episode. It is, and she sent an article from The New Yorker, and it's the hottest restaurant in France, and it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's called Le Grand Buffet, and it features a 7-tiered lobster tower, a chocolate fountain, and only what it considers traditional French food.
Wow.
Yeah, and apparently you have to wait months for a table.
Really?
Yeah.
And do they say how much it costs to go?
It's like 50 euros a person-ish in that area.
So all you can eat 50 euros?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how do they make ends meet? I guess they serve thousands of people a day.
Oh man, it's huge, this place. It's gorgeous. It's stunning.
Really?
It looks like something from what's that area just outside of Paris that Louis built?
Versailles,
yeah. Yeah, Versailles. The whole thing looks like Versailles in this restaurant. Yeah.
Well, we must consider this.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's in Narbonne.
Oh, I think that's an overnighter for
us.
That's
definitely an overnighter.
Especially after eating in a buffet.
No, exactly. Oh, yesterday, when we were coming back from Montauban, we decided to revisit our favorite little material shop. Oh my God, have they ever done something to this place. So this is in Lozert, which is kind of on the way back from Montauban. And the place is called BH Ancient Materials, or in French,
Matériaux Anciens.
BH.
BH.
Right. And one of the things that I was looking for specifically, I'm building this door, which I'll include some photos of on the Facebook page. I'm building a door for the little grooming area that we have outside.
For the doggies.
For the dogs. And I just need some old hardware to mm-hmm. hang it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they had something. I didn't measure properly, so it's of no use. But anyway,
there's 3 euros down the drain.
Yeah, it was three euros. Doesn't matter. I've got what I need. I just wanted to see what they had. And anyway, they've dressed like they've completely gutted this place, and it is full of anything you could possibly think of.
Yes, like mainly outdoor.
Yeah, like tables.
Tables and terracotta pots and living room chairs, outdoor, wrought iron living room chairs.
Lots of hardware for door hanging and stuff like that. And yep. It's just an incredible spot. It really is.
Yeah, it's fun. There's no other place like that around that
Lots
I'm aware of.
Rocks and slate. And yeah, it's huge, too. It's huge. And you'll see with that on the Facebook page. So that was pretty cool as we wrapped up our trip to Montauban yesterday.
Time now for another Paris 2024 Olympic update.
Macron came out this week and said that there are plan B and C for the opening ceremonies.
I'm so bummed out about this, but I completely understand.
Well, the world is in a bit of turmoil.
This is since, I think this announcement came
since Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the attack on Israel.
Yes. So, you know, it's a big responsibility. You've got, you know, over 6 kilometers, you've got 10,000 athletes floating on barges with dancers and actors and politicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's very difficult airspace to, you know, protect. The organizer of the Olympic Games is still confident that this will happen.
Oh, okay. So it's not for sure that
they're going to be in C. B being going across from the Eiffel Tower at the Trocadero. The other one is going to Le Stade, which is in northern Paris.
Which would just be the standard opening ceremonies that everybody else has done since the dawn of time. Boring.
Yeah, yeah. But it just goes to show, you know, where we are right now in the world, and it's very sage of them to be thinking of other options in case things start to escalate. Who knows?
Well, it's just good to have these plans in place, you know.
Yes,
because that might be enough to dissuade a grand scale plan from, you know, some nefarious group.
Yes,
I don't know. But yeah, it's and then what else did you hear? You you found out some other kind of bad news for patrons.
Well, it's not bad news.
No,
it's just that the organizers have decided that alcohol will not be on sale at the game venues.
Okay.
The only exception is for the VIPs.
Ah.
They get free wine or champagne, and that's included in their price, which is probably pretty hefty.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not uncommon. I mean, at Roland Garros, alcohol was only started being served in 2023.
Really?
Yes. When we were there years back, there was no beer stand. There was no wine, you know, and I think they've got self-serve beer stands.
Self-serve?
Something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but...
that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, they did say that the crowd was a bit more boisterous this past year than they have in the past. Because, you know, tennis has always been very subdued.
Yeah.
But rugby...
Oh, well, rugby, soccer...
Rugby, yeah. They
You wouldn't have a fan in the joint if you did that.
Yeah, they say that serving beer is a must. In fact, Scottish and Irish fans broke the record for the most beer sold ever at the Stade de France during the pool stage game. They consumed 137,000 pints of beer, and the spectators were only 78,000.
Holy cow.
So that
and
that
a lot of those 78,000 don't drink beer, you know?
Probably, yeah. So that was, they broke the record there.
Jeez. Oh, man. They love their rugby. They love their foot.
Their foot.
Yeah, and you just could not. I mean, it is also part of the problem, especially with soccer and riots and things over the years. You've got to associate a lot of that to booze, but... yeah, I just can't even imagine if they did that.
Yeah. So they're keeping things, you know, dry at the Olympics in Paris 2024.
All right. That is it for episode 112 of our podcast. On next week's show, we travel to the North frickin' Pole where it's sunnier and warmer than Southwest France. Goodbye.
Au revoir.